What else? Okay, so I have an answer, which is it's somewhat of a shot, somewhat of a shot answer. It's going to involve Svaras a little bit, but I think it involves a careful knowing of what's going on in the Gemara here. Okay, and in terms of pshat, it's combined with conceptually. Okay, and maybe, I don't know if you guys did the Gemara beforehand or not, but it's somewhat related to Gemara beforehand, which is what's going on here in the context of the sugya is the Gemara is trying to figure out, how do you know shlichus? Okay, and it's starting from square zero. Okay, you don't know shlichus anywhere. And it says, how do you know it? So it says, well, it's posed by Gerushin. It says, okay, fine. That's Gerushin. What about Kedushin? Because our Mishnah is Kedushin. So this is Kedushin, Yatsa, Yahisa. There's a Hakash. Fine. What about Truma? Truma, there's a Limud. So, okay, fine. What about Karban Pesach? So there's a Limud. So it says, oh, so now why do you need all these things? Why not just learn from a Gerushin? It says, you can't learn from Gerushin. So fine. So learn from Gerushin and Truma. Learn from Truma and Karban Pesach. Learn from all the different permutations. So it ends up saying, Eina Chanami, you could learn from Gerushin and from Karban Pesach, and you don't need a pasuk by Truma, fine. So the way you're learning, how are you learning? So the way you're learning is through Binyanav. So like in theory, he says, well, if you know it by Gerushin, so you'd assume that it applies to the Kol Tarkula. Unless you could show me something unique about, let's say, Truma, which says that you can apply it to Truma, like that it's Kodesh, which we explained. Is that since it's Kodesh, and Kodesh, there's a svara to say that you wouldn't extend Shlichus to Kodesh. So therefore you have no right to simply just say Binyanav. Binyanav means is that assuming if you say something, the Torah teaches you something, and you have a right to generalize it to the whole category, unless you could show me that there's something unique or a reason not to apply it. But if simply, without any indication to the contrary, so you have a right to extend, and that's the idea of binyanav, binyanav mikasavecha, shteksuvim. That's all. You have a right to generalize. So now the Gemara is saying, so now so far at this stage of the Gemara, so you have a shlichus by mitzvos, right? I guess you could generalize by mitzvos, which are effects, something like that, right? Now the Gemara says, so maybe you should slay it by aveira also, because why not? What's the difference really? Because we know it by mitzvos, and you know it by mamonis also, by the way. The Ron says, by dina mamonis, by kinyanim also, it's from the same binyanav, because it works by mitzvos, so it's going to work by kinyan also. Why not? It's not kodesh or whatever from the whole thing. It carries through. So we're going to say, oh, so you learn from the averos also. So by averos also, the Torah, the Torah's institution of shlichus, which it has posited through Gerushin, the combination of Gerushin and Karban Pesach, should carry over to Avera also. To which the Gemara says that no, you have no right to automatically extend it. You have no raya that it's going to extend to Avera as well, because by Avera you have a counter argument, which is Devar Demetan Devar Mishalman. Okay, in other words, it's not saying that it's logically impossible to say Shlichus B'Dvar Avera because Devar Demetan Devar Mishalman. And you can't say it's illogical, because you see apparently there's a shita who says that it is, and by Mila it does. And it's just saying it's in limud, you have no right to say, simply because you have shlichus by mitzvos, therefore naturally it will extend through binyanav, it will naturally extend to avera. You have no right to do that, because there is a room to be mechalik. Because the Amrina and the Rav the Mishalim, so which we have to explain, but there's a counter argument and a reason to differentiate between mitzvos and by averos. And although just because it works by mitzvos, where there's no such argument over the Rav the Talmud, doesn't mean the Torah is going to extend shlichus to avera. Now it could, and if the Torah would extend shlichus to avera, if there were a limud that you did, like by there is by Mi'ila, which there could have been an extension from Mi'ila to all averos through an Abinyanav, then in Echanami, the Torah could, and you wouldn't really have Divrei HaRav, because it wouldn't be Divrei HaRav. Because it would turn out that it's not an Avera, because it's the other guy's Avera. Okay, so it could have, if the Torah, the Gemara is not saying it's illogical, it's just saying, in terms of limud, you have no right to automatically extend it and assume Avera and Mitzvah are the same, because Avera has this new feature of Devar Adonai Talmud. So now you have to go fishing for a limud. to show me that you say Devera Devera Talmud. I'm sorry, to show me that you say Teshuach HaShon Nekamoso in the sphere of Averos. You can't just carry over from here to there. Okay? Now, I get the... there's one more step here, but so far... right? I mean, so far this it makes everything much simpler. I mean, we have to explain a little bit still what is this thing there in the Talmud, but it takes away the impossible nature of all the problems, I think. It, you know? Fine. So now, this is, I guess, the hardest step, but it could be it's saying is like this. The question is, did the Torah endorse or extend the institution, the mechanism, the vehicle of shliach, of shlichos, to Avera? Okay? Now, I'd say is in considering that, you have two things to consider. On the one hand, why not? Shlichos is shlichos. And if you want to be, so to speak, logically consistent insofar as the concept of shliach is concerned, you should extend it to whenever you have a maisa, which is an effect-oriented maisa, just like you could set up a mino shlichus and he could do it for you and the effect will be attributed to you. If you just go along the natural logical lines of shlichus, if you create averos which line up with mitzvos, which again, they're effect-oriented things like hezek or shlichus yad or whatever examples you have, or killing, so then naturally, if you just want to be purely consistent, just in, if forgetting, putting aside all their issues, just the purely, the concept of shliach itself, is a concept of a method of performing effect-oriented activities. And there's no reason why you should differentiate between mitzvah and avera. It just naturally follows. Okay. But by the Torah positing shlichus bedvar avera, it would be, so to speak, creating like a legitimate method of doing averas. Right? In other words, in general, I'm not allowed to kill. I'm not allowed to kill. I say, oh, but if a shliach tells me to, if a Talmud tells me to kill, so then it turns out I'd be allowed to kill. And say, look, it's his problem, it's not my problem. The Talmud told me to. So what it would end up be doing is, it would be endorsing that which is ordinarily a divrei harav, and it would be giving you it would be like a philosophically funny type of a thing, which the Torah would be doing, which it would be, we take something which God assert and says that you're not supposed to do and it's bad, and he'd be, so to speak, by extending the institution of shlichus to Isser, to Avera, you'd end up legitimizing a person's involvement in an Avera, in that which would ordinarily be an Avera, because he'd say, oh, the Talmud is telling me to. So he's telling me to do it. And it would be legitimate, and it would really make you not an Avarium. Okay, it would end up making you not an Avarium. But it's not, you can understand the Torah doesn't want to do that, doesn't want to legitimize doing, this is Divrei HaRav, and especially because these averos are averos, and this is, I think, what Johnny was getting at, is that these are averos, if you say these are effect-oriented averos, that's why killing is a good example, it means that these things, there is something wrong with these things, it's not, and it's a killing is killing. So here you're going to allow a guy to kill, because, and hide behind the guise of the halachic mechanism of shlichas. Are you going to allow him to do me'ilah and hide behind the mechanism of shlichus? Or to do burn down a guy's field and hide behind the mechanism of shlichus? So it's true, technically I won't be an avarian, and I will really be mutar. But I mean, you're allowing me to do it wrong. I mean, it's philosophically wrong. And it was by the Torah, and that's what I'm saying, the Amrina, there's an argument, because of this argument is that this thing doesn't make it sounds wrong that a person, you can allow a person to listen to the Divrei HaTalmud as opposed to the, again, the generic Divrei HaRav, not that he's actually Aser, because if you say Shlichus, he's not going to be Aser, but you can allow a person to do that which is ordinarily Divrei HaRav because the Talmud tells him to, because that will end up become, this will end up what will happen by extending Shlichus to Avera. Now, that's funny, it's possible, but it's funny, it's not, it's a svara to be mechalik and to say, just because I know that the Torah has shlichos by mitzvos, I can't just say, well, it must be by averos also. Well, hold on a second, this is a new idea here. This is, although logically in terms of shliach itself, it could carry over, but it's a whole nother thing to say that you're legitimizing a guy, mattering an avera. And there's a good svar to say the Torah did not do that. And without a limud to say that the Torah also did it, by the force of binyanav alone, the Gemara is saying is that we are amrin on that, you don't say that. Yeah. I'm saying it's like, I guess it sounds philosophical, but and maybe it is, but I'm saying it's like you're taking something which is a divrei harav, okay, which is a maisa iser, and you're like, you're matering it. You're taking a maisa avera and you're giving it a heter method of doing it. Saying that's a chedesh. So it's true that once you posit the mechanism, it turns out it is. It's mutter. But you're taking something which is in the divrei harav. The Torah is oser, and the Torah is is koveyed as an evil, as a wrong, and you're being matir a divrei harav. You're being matir an avera. Of course, it's mutter, but that's a chiddush. That's a halachically a chiddush. As you're saying, is that there's a mutter method of doing an avera. Now, again, it's of course, once it's a mutter, it's not an avera, but there is a reason why the averas aren't just arbitrary things. I mean, there's something wrong with averas. They're not just, there's a reality behind the averas as being wrong things, and a person shouldn't do them. Now, you're setting up the halachic system in a way where it turns out that it ends up mattering it. So that's a big move. And just to say it, because you say, well, there's shlichus by mitzvah, and it makes sense. Not so fast. I'm reading the rav, there's a svara that counters that. And just by the force of binyanav alone, you can't do that. That you need, the Gemara, you need a limit for that. You can't just say that just because probably the Torah extends. I mean, there's this good svara to say that the Torah would never do such a thing. So you have to count, it's possible, and that's, I think, what I mentioned yesterday, which sounded funny, but the Shita Lo Delmi says, look, we can't just make a svara on our own. We have to go by what the limudim say. If the limud tells us that Yeshil Dvar Vera, then it goes Yeshil Dvar Vera. The limud tells us Yeshil Dvar Vera, then it goes Yeshil Dvar Vera. Because ultimately the question is there's a conflict here, which is on the one hand, there's the simplicity and the beauty of the structure of Hilchos Shlichos, which should not differentiate in any way between the integrity of the system of Shlichos, shouldn't differentiate between a mitzvah and a vera, because it's the same thing. It's an effect-oriented activity. And once you posit, you're going to have to, so to speak, inhibit, prevent the institution of Shlichos from extending where it naturally should apply. So that's one consideration which the Torah has. On the other hand, you have a consideration which is a vera, and you're going to be mattering an avera. So now, which one will win out? What's, so to speak, more important to the Torah? Is it more important to go with the consistency of the institution of shlichus and be mater the avera, or you say no, it's not worth doing that? So that's what Shilin is saying. We can't decide this from a svara. This is, there are two factors, and we have to go by limudim. This kind of thing. There are two qualitative factors here, and you have to subordinate yourself to limudim. I mean, that's God determined in terms of His system. What's the way we figure that stuff out is by going to limudim and by the gomidos and the limudim and the pasuk, shneksim banke achad, whatever. Beishamai, based on his learning of limudim, came to one conclusion. Beisel, or we go into a different conclusion. What I'm saying is that Divrei Rav, Divrei Tan, Divrei Mishomim is like expressing what's almost absurd about the saying that Shlichus should apply. It's talking in a strong way. And of course, I mean, it's talking, has to say it's somewhat exaggerant, because if you really take it as in the way it's saying it, that it's crazy, then how could you have a Shito who says it's not crazy, So, but it's expressing in the full terms of what's difficult about allowing shlichus. Because what it's going to end up doing is you're going to take something which is generically, in general, a divrei harav, okay, and which says everyone knows from the first grade that it says osir tzach, okay, which is divrei harav, and now a guy, you're going to say, oh, but how are you killing? Doesn't it say osir tzach? It's like, well, a Talmud told me, this guy told me to. The mafia boss, he'll hire me. So I'm listening to him. So now, he'll say, you're going to listen to the Divrei Harav, or the Divrei Tam, or the Divrei Harav? He'll say, well, no, there's Shlichus. So therefore, okay, it's true, there's Shlichus, and therefore, whatever, But it turns out that that's what's going to be happening, that you're going to take, in the halachic system, you're going to have something which is a Maisa Avera, which becomes Hutar, because of the Divrei Talmud. It undermines the Divrei Rav because of the, and it's true, it's working through halachic mechanisms, but it's expressing it in the absurd, in the manners, because that's the way it ends up looking. So the halachic counterpart is you're being mati or ma'aseh iser, but it's, right, it's presenting it insofar as the full force of what's crazy about it or difficult about saying such a thing. You could say, look, it's true it's difficult, but look, shlichos are shlichos, and we're not going to cut up shlichos because of this difficulty. On the other hand, you could say, you do. So how do we act here? We have to go by the limudim. You can't just say, minyanav, you need a limud. If we have a limud, we have it by me'ila, fine. So now let's learn out from me'ila. Me'ila will make its own minyanav to extend it to all isurim. Oh, but it's a separate thing. Shnei Ksav Malka Echad. Now we have to just subordinate ourselves to the system of the Yigil Midos and see where it all leads up. So Bishamai led out one way, went one way in the Gemara, and Beis Hillel and everyone else ends up the other way. But that's just based on the Limudim. And if you look at Shnei Ksav Malka Echad, I think he's saying it. He's saying it's like he asks. He says, the question is, which way to learn? So it says, so he says, why don't you just go by the Svara, the Rav? He says, you can't just use, this isn't a place to, the Rav is, the Ritambit is a svara. The svara could undermine the automatic extension that it could do, but it can't tell you which way is what's the right way to go. That's, we have to use a real limud. The svara just shows you that you can't. It's enough to undermine the automatic, the natural extension, because it's a tzad l'chalik, and that's what you need to undermine it enough. That's the thing is that you see. So the question is, so let's say you say in Shildo Avera, so how does that work out? I mean, we're saying is that in terms of the logical consistency of Shlichus really should be by Dvar Avera. So now we're saying it doesn't be by Dvar Avera because this other reason, so how exactly does that work out? So how?
That's assuming, right.
So that's, I think it should. Daniel says, is you're assuming Shlichus is a universal institution. See, Shlichus, I think, is a mechanism which the Torah is setting up. The Torah could have just not even recognized Shlichus altogether. Well, who's to say that there's an institution whereby someone else's action can count for me? Now, the Torah does recognize it, but just because it recognizes it doesn't mean the Torah has to recognize the vehicle across the board. It could recognize it in certain cases and not in other cases. Now, it's I guess, more beautiful if it's just like a natural, like a universal institution. But it could be a limited institution, which the Torah only endorses by certain instances. I think the way in which, I think, to get further, how it does it, I think, is going to be touch on the machlokas between Tosis and the Ritva, about how exactly the Torah did it. You know, now that it excluded it, does it not apply by Averos altogether? Does it apply sometimes but not other times? Right, and that's what they're arguing about, right? So I think that's wherein it opens up that machlokas, but I think we have to be specific and precise about how it did it based on that machlokas, you know what I mean? Right, I mean, that's true. Daniel's mentioning, I mean, I can see two ways to learn this thing, this Rashi. And the Rashi says, "Ein shliach choshev shliach hadvar avero, sheyischayiv sholcha, el hariyu kosam elav." So I'll tell you two ways to read this thing. Is you could say, the way Daniel's trying to saying is that, I think that's what you're saying, that he's a shliach, a shliach is a shliach, you point to the guy, shliach, he's your shliach. It's just that the effect, shlichus works, that it transfers an effect to you. So the effect of avera can't be transferred. What I was saying is that you can't transfer the effect of avera from one guy to another guy, because they're either a Talmud, this is avera for you, you're the avayon, and that, because of the idea of avera, the Torah says that although shlichus is an institution, the effect of avera doesn't transfer. So that's what I'm saying is, what does it mean? Lo ensha chashuv shliach ledvar avera sheyischayv shlocho. Elar he calls him elav. It means vis-a-vis avera, he's like he calls him elav, but he is a shliach. He is a shliach, right? Now, let me just present, I'll present the other side, but let me present the nafkamina. Let's assume, like, you do an isser. Like, how's this? This is the case where it comes up, and this is going to come in nafkamina from a tosis later, but, like, let's assume you tell me to marry someone for you, to do a kedushin shel isser, okay? So, like, this isn't necessarily a true example, but let's believe me for it, even though it's not, there are problems with it. But let's say you tell a Kohen, tells a Yisrael tells another Kohen to be a Shliach, to marry a Grusha. Okay, you're not allowed to marry a Grusha. Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha. So now it's an Avera. So in Shildar Avera. So the question is, so would you say that the Kedushin is Chal? In other words, there's two things which take place through this kedushin. There's a kedushin, tefisas kedushin, the kinyan, and there's also an avera, a shem avera. So do you say that you're a shliach. Shliach is a shliach. You pointed, there's a mean of shliach. Of course you're a shliach. It's kedushin. You're a shliach. But the effect of avera doesn't transfer. But of course it's kedushin. It's kedushin because you're a shliach. Right? That's what you're saying, right?
Right.
You're saying it's just the effect of avera doesn't transfer, right? But what you could argue is, ela harihu ke'osim e'elav. Right? Ke'osim e'elav. So that's what I'm not sure about. Is harihu ke'osim e'elav. Is you could say it's just chaos me'elav, but it means vis-a-vis avera. What you could say is that since it's avera, and this involves avera, so now you can't say that shliach dvar avera vis-a-vis avera the effect will transfer, and therefore the old shlichus it renders the halachically is like it's an osam me'elav, because how could you suspend the effect if he's really a shliach? Then shliach should be a shliach, and it really should transfer vis-a-vis avera. Rather, the Torah has to say, when it comes to avera, because of this problem, that there simply is no shlichus, and he's ke'osam e'elav. I mean, even though he was instructed by this other guy to do it, he's ke'osam e'elav. It's like that's halachically simply non-existent, and therefore he's really defined like an osam e'elav. Right? Tosa says that if you say it's ain't shil d'arvera, it's not tofes, and if you say shil d'arvera, then it is tofes. That's why I'm hesitant. I know I went back and forth a few times about how to read this Rashi. Originally, I thought simple ways the way you're reading it, Daniel. I forgot why. There was a reason why it changed that, and then I saw Tosa said definitely says to the contrary. So maybe at some point we'll take it up. Oh, is it? It's not a Tosa here. It's Tosa in Bamentzia. Those moments, yeah. But leave the question alone. Yeah, I'm not making up this case. This is a case of moments, yeah. Mm-hmm. Case of moments, yeah, is where Kohanta, and that's where Tulsa comes in. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's complications in the case, so I'm just throwing it out. So if we get any complications, don't ask me questions on the case. But it's a case of moments, yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get to this. So that's why, let's keep this question on hold. Exactly what Rashi means, I could see going both ways. But I'd like to do, I guess, tomorrow. Is to take up this Tosus and the Ritva. Okay? The Tosus is, we read the Tosus. I don't think you have to get into the nitty gritty of the Tosus. I mean, you got the point of Tosus. You look over it again just to make sure you get to what he's holding. But the Ritva is a little more talkative than Tosus. I mean, Tosus, you got his punchline. He's basically saying is that Shlicha Yishen Shel Darvero is only where the Rav Devar Talmud is relevant. But the Ritva talks a little more. Okay, so I mean, you can look at them both, and I think whichever way you go is a significant difference. And I think when you do more Mosiah, I mean, I think so. You have to keep the Yeshidas in mind. I mean, they're going to come back to us, so it'd be good if we could try to get them down well. Okay, and then I guess after we end up doing that, I guess we have to get into these exceptions, right? Maybe we'll take them one at a time. I mean, we're just saying now. I think we've made clear why there could be exceptions. There's nothing wrong with an exception now. But how they work and why they are exceptions is not so, you know, why should there be exceptions? So there could be, and Torah could make an exception, you know, even if it's ancient Torah, sometimes it could be that there is Shliach D'Arvera, but, you know, to go, we would have to go through in particular. So I'm assuming that will be next week. Hopefully tomorrow we can do the Tosas and the Ritva. Okay, so look at the Ritva and go through it. Okay, I don't know if I'm going to read through every single word in it, but I mean, definitely, I mean, he talks. It's an easy read, it's not hard.